From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made with a proposal. On Valentine's Day, 26-year-old Skylar Ramirez proposed to his girlfriend during a trip to Key West. She said yes, and the couple is now planning a November wedding with around 200 guests. But even before the wedding planning or the proposal, Ramirez was thinking about numbers. He had already picked out a diamond engagement ring for his now fiance when he came upon an ad for a wedding-related loan. As he told the Washington Post, quote, "I thought, hey, I'm going to be making a pretty sizable purchase. I didn't want to be using cash or pulling money from savings or investment accounts," end quote. So Ramirez took out a five-figure loan with an interest rate of about 8%. If he pays $300 a month, it will take more than 3 years to pay his wedding off, and he and his fiancée might consider taking out future wedding-related loans as well. The move turns out not to be all that uncommon, as the cost of weddings in America continues to rise even though income inequality rises. According to the Knotts Worldwide 2019 Global Wedding Report, the average American wedding costs more than $29,000. That's nearly four times the cost of weddings in other countries. In New York State, the average cost is more than $35,000, and in Rochester specifically, averages, according to some numbers, around $30,000. Some couples, of course, spend much more or much less, depending on what they want or what they can afford for their big day. So, also, there's been a shift in who pays for weddings, with less of an expectation for family help. Some couples taking out loans, as reported by the Washington Post. Online lenders have issued more than four times as many wedding-related loans as they did a year ago, with couples borrowing about $16,000 on average to cover the wedding. Some loans are marketed to couples to help them pay for extras, but many couples say they use the loans to help pay for the entire wedding. Well, this hour we explore the rising cost of weddings and discuss the trends for those celebrations, both nationally and locally. Our guests are recently married or sharing experiences that they have working in the industry. So joining us in studio, hello to a newlywed June 8th, Becca Botter. Happy wedding. Congratulations, I guess is the term.
Thank you.
So it's been about 3+ weeks now. Still feel good?
Yeah, still feels pretty good.
Well, I'm glad you're not on here expressing regrets. It's great to have you. Also, hello to Emma Hale, married in October of 2017. Emma, welcome to you.
Thank you very much.
Paul Packish is here, recently married on April 13th, and also someone who is an officiant at weddings. Welcome.
Yes. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Also with us is Agathi Georgiou Graham, owner of Agathi and Company. Welcome to you as well.
Thanks for having me.
Are you somewhat recently married?
Yes. My husband and I got married last July.
Last July. And you're also, why don't you tell us a little bit about what Agathi & Company is and does?
So Agathi & Co. is a full-service event planning company. I started my business in 2011. In 2016, my husband and I opened up the Arbor Loft. And in 2018, we opened up Arbor at the Port.
How much change have you seen when it comes to what people want to spend on weddings and related parties?
Oh, I've seen changes in the trends more so, but in as far as how much it costs, I mean, it's always expensive. Always. I mean, whether you're having it in a pavilion or you're having it at a venue, I mean, things add up because there's a photographer, there's a videographer, florist, officiant, all of the above. There's just a lot that goes into it.
Well, I'll ask all of you how you approached your own weddings, and then we'll kind of talk about all the different considerations. Listeners, if you want to share your story, you can do that this hour. You can email the program connections@wxxi.org. This is a no-judgment show. You know, you want to spend a lot on the wedding, that's up to you. If you don't, if you want to do more of a DIY or a different approach, that's up to you. If you can't afford to spend a lot and you had to come up with different creative ways, you can share your stories as well. Connections@wxxi.org. You can call us here, and I'll kind of go around the table, and we'll start with Emma Hale, married in October of 2017. What was the approach you took?
So my husband and I were, as you said, one of those couples who we did have to have a pretty tight budget. We paid for our wedding ourselves. We had limited family help. So we knew pretty much from the moment we got engaged that, one, we were going to have a long engagement so that we could plan and prep, and that we were going to have some pretty serious plans on how we were going to save that kind of money. 'Cause asking around, as you said, doesn't matter how you do it, where you do it, it's going to cost you. So we had a really, really intense budgeting approach. Every paycheck, there had to be a certain amount to go away, and really prioritizing what was important for our day.
Did you set a hard budget early on?
So my husband would say yes. He set a hard budget of $5,000. And I looked at him and said, that's really funny. I wish. That'd be great. But realistically, we initially said we were hoping to be about $15,000. And we did go over that.
Okay.
So.
But you were saving literally paycheck to paycheck.
Yes.
You were taking a portion.
Yes. Yeah. And it was, I mean, we were fortunate that I was essentially putting 3/4 of my paycheck into a savings account to not be touched every single paycheck. So it was about just over $1,000 a month that had to go in.
When it comes to DIY, did you do anything yourself?
Yes, I did lots of things myself. So we did our wedding invitations ourselves, our save the dates ourselves, you know, went on Etsy and found templates and typed it all in and had a friend help me print them and cut them. And I was also very fortunate to have a very good friend who is a talented baker who was able to help me DIY all of our wedding desserts, which is, I know, one of the biggest costs, I think.
How many people came to your wedding?
It was just about 115.
And even with all that DIY, 115, you know, in the world of weddings that got there, 115 is not a huge wedding.
No, right? That's actually quite small. Good for you.
And still went a little over budget.
Yeah, I think including our rehearsal dinner, which my in-laws helped with, it was just about $19,000.
Okay. How do you feel about that now, looking back?
That would have been a really great down payment on a house. but, you know, it was a really wonderful day. And I do feel like we did the best that we could with the industry being how it is to mm-hmm. save money where we could and prioritize the things that were important to us and make sure that they were quality and fantastic.
Any regrets?
I wish I'd eaten. At some point on my wedding day, that would have been good. But other than that, no. I mean, it was a really fantastic and stress-free day, and that mostly came from just putting in the work.
What do you make of, and certainly there's an element of privilege to the idea that parents are going to pay for it, right?
Yeah.
But what do you make of the Washington Post reporting that as a trend, that has been reduced?
That doesn't surprise me. I think that especially my parents were just absolutely flabbergasted by the amount that couples today are willing to spend on a wedding, you know, looking back on their own weddings and just not even being able to compare. And I think that a lot, like you said, it's a privilege to even have a wedding of that cost. And I think that a lot of parents are putting a lot more of that expectation on their kids. You know, if you want to have this, all of these things, you need to be able to put that up yourself.
All right. Agathy, we dragged you in here to talk about the work you do in the industry. Will you tell us a little about yours, your wedding?
Yeah. So I, funny story, my husband and I, when we opened up the Arbor Loft, we knew we would eventually get married. And when we got engaged, my parents were thrilled because they thought, great, let's get married at the Arbor Loft. It's cheap. It's going to be fantastic. But for someone who practically lives at their wedding venue, I felt like I didn't, well, of course, I didn't want to get married there. We had been searching for a second location for quite a while, a place that wasn't competing with the loft. And we stumbled upon the old Port of Rochester fast ferry terminal space, and we renovated that into a 12,000 square foot wedding venue. But in a perfect world, well, in normal people time, I think that we could have gotten it done in like 6 to 8 months because contractors, new flooring, electrical, et cetera. But because we were getting married in July of last year, we had about 2.5-3 months of renovation because we wanted to be the first wedding to get married there, because I wanted a unique experience, because I want to get married once and I want it to be incredible and I want to have the vendors that I had always dreamed of. So it was kind of an all-in thing for me. So my poor husband, being the angel that he is, was on board and we made that happen. Just as expensive. I think for 200 people, I paid over $20,000. And I'm in the industry, and I have the quote-unquote connections. But things add up. You have to pay the baker. You have to pay the caterer. You have to pay for florals. And even though the wedding venue specifically was quote-unquote free, there are so many extra things that we wanted it to be extra special. So I'm not surprised that all in this was that expensive. But every person is so different. Every couple is so different. Mm-hmm. I mean, we met with a couple just yesterday who want to have like a small intimate gathering. So we sent them over to the German House, which is another venue that we are managing partners of, because they can accommodate smaller, you know, smaller parties of 100 or less. So it just kind of depends on the couple and their overall budgets. My biggest recommendation for people that want to scale back is to cut your guest list, honestly, because if you cut back even a table of eight people, you're saving about $1,000 right there. So people have high hopes and they start with, you know, guest lists of 200, 300 plus, and then you realize that's, you know, it adds up. It adds up.
So that's a quick way to cut costs. Target the guest list.
Target the guest list.
Okay, Emma, is there something that stands out to you that says, I love what we did. If I was doing one other thing to cut costs, I look back, it would be...
Oh, my goodness. One other thing. I mean, we...
The answer could be no. I mean, you might look back and say we did the best we could.
I think it's really no. I think we did the best we could. I mean, like you're talking about, we really did. We had to make some pretty serious cuts to get our guest list to that size. You know, your family is your family.
Right. Can't kick them off the list.
No, you cannot. So you have to make compromises.
I mean,
you can. I mean, not without some minor repercussions.
Sure. Okay. So you're feeling pretty good. I mean, you squeezed it as best you could.
Yeah. I mean, we... Artisan Works is where we had our wedding, and they were able to give us kind of that per head cost, like you were saying,
right.
Like, you know, when you're able to look at a table and say, okay, this table is going to cost me $850, you're really able to do that math pretty quickly and figure out where your biggest costs are going to be. And that's.
But you did a great thing. You really prioritized kind of the top three things that were most important to you. So what were those top three things?
For me, photography, a space that was able to accommodate all of our needs. So we had both our ceremony and reception in one space.
Fantastic, yeah.
And probably the food was the third. So making
and those
sure
were probably
that,
like the top three things that were most expensive because you wanted them to be the best.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And we booked them in that order too so that we would know what was left of our budget to accommodate the things that didn't make that top three.
Okay. Agatha, any regrets on your end then?
Oh, goodness, no. I mean, we had quite the big, fat Greek wedding. It was incredible.
I was going to say, your husband, who may be listening now, is probably thinking, if you say you have any regrets, all the things that we did.
No, he's an angel. He married me. He really is. No, no regrets. I mean, we had a big wedding, and it was a long day because we got married at the Greek Orthodox Church. So that's like an hour and a half ceremony. To the officiant here, he's like, ooh, that's a long time.
Yeah, it is.
You did marry an angel. You did marry an angel.
Truly. And then the reception was fantastic, and everything on that day was perfect for us. But we're also wedding planners, so we had everything pre-planned. I mean, a lot of the planning process is before the big day. So 95% of it is done. You just need it executed.
Now, before I turn to Becca about it, I just want to ask you, Agathi, any truth to the stereotype that gay weddings are more expensive and more fabulous?
They are more fabulous, for sure.
They are more fabulous, for sure.
For
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
We've had a handful at the Arbor Loft, and they're absolutely my top events.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like sometimes, I guess it depends on the couple, but for every location that we've had them at, they're just so kind and considerate, and they're a little bit more over the top, which I appreciate because I'm a little bit over the top. So I invite them in. Absolutely.
Always a great party.
Always a party.
There you go. We're talking about trends. We're talking about weddings and the average cost of weddings in this country. If your expectation is with income inequality and wage gaps widening in the last decade, that the cost of weddings have sort of slowed down and maybe come back down, they have not. In this state, most couples are paying $30,000 or more. Now, again, I understand how much privilege is associated with this conversation. There's no question about that. And there's plenty of people who can't do that. But as the Washington Post points out, there are couples who can't do that, and they take out five-figure loans anyway to do that. So it's still a powerful urge to have the party that you want. And Becca got married on June 8th. How was your weather on June 8th?
It was perfect.
It was awesome?
Yeah.
Just got through. Was it around here?
Yes. The ceremony was in Chilai. And surrounding it, the 2 weeks around it, it was questionable.
Dicey.
There was some rain, but our day was perfect weather.
Wonderful. So. Well, glad to hear that. Tell me about the approach you took.
So my parents did help with the wedding a certain amount, but we did have a very affordable wedding. All in all, we probably spent about $7,500. And so my parents paid for the food and some of the bigger things, and a lot of the things that I knew were more preferential for me, I wanted to foot the bill for those things because I knew they weren't necessary. And we did do a lot of DIY. We did the reception at my church, which was free to use, and then we just had food catered in. So,
what's an example of something you thought, I can't ask my parents to pay for this, but I really want it?
I wanted a bunch of different types of centerpieces, and it was going to be really complicated, and I knew asking anybody else to foot the bill or be in charge of putting them together, that would not be fair to them. So that was one example. And then even paying for my hair and makeup and that kind of thing, it's something that needs to be done, but I was just like, this is a thing that's only for me, and nobody else is benefiting from it, so that was something that I wanted to come from my own.
You look back now, and, you know, still fresh, less than a month old here, but are you pretty happy with the work you did to kind of keep it at a certain budget?
Yeah, definitely. I think there are things that I maybe would have DIY'd a little bit less, but overall, I'm happy with the amount of money that we spent. We did rent chairs for the ceremony, and we paid the extra money to have them set up for us instead of setting them up ourselves. So there were places that we spent the extra money to make things less stressful. So, yeah, I don't have any regrets. I think we did everything the best we could have.
Okay. So it sounds like, you know, so far our guests feel like they really did what they could to kind of keep costs down reasonably within the budgets that they had set. Is there anything, Agathi, besides cutting down your guest list that you look and say, the next place where people spend where sometimes maybe you think, I can't believe you're going to spend on this, but go right ahead.
Oh, absolutely. So I would recommend that. Well, what I did with you is I asked you about the top three things that are most important on your wedding day. Those are usually the top three things that you know, that are most expensive. If photography isn't top on your list, I mean, we're surrounded by all, you know, so much talent in Rochester, RIT students, videographers that are going to school for this and just need that extra credit. There are some Facebook groups called like Rochester Wedding Swap, where you can ask them recommendations. If you are on a tight budget, you can just ask, we want to spend between this and this. What do you recommend that we do? And there are brides and grooms everywhere that are willing to put in their 2 cents and give you some advice. So that would be my number one. The DIY is obviously a big one. So the biggest trend in the industry right now is lots of greenery. People love tons of greenery on the centerpieces or around an arbor, or, you know, scaling the ceremony aisle. So greenery is very inexpensive. Head over to Wegmans and grab them by the bucket, and you can set them up yourself. So things like that are really fantastic and less expensive. Those would be my top things, because we get asked that all the time. You know, we really want to cut here, cut there. Something I wouldn't recommend cutting on. Sometimes we get requests that, oh, we just want to bring our own speakers and like a Spotify list and just press play and we'll just, you know, it'll be easy. It's never that easy. To everyone listening, it's never that easy. A DJ and a really great DJ is worth every penny, because they assist with the flow of the evening. They help with announcing you in. They help with guiding people through speeches and first dances. Those things are so important. So I think a DJ, for sure, worth every penny. Find someone that you're really loving and confident with, and that is something that definitely don't cut corners there.
All right. Well, let's turn to Paul Pakish, who was recently married April 13th. So tell us about your approach.
Well, my approach came from the fact that my future wife and I had been previously married, and we wanted to focus more on the people and having a good time. We wanted to project what we wanted as a couple. So what we did was we sat down and decided what we wanted to have at our wedding. And we have a lot of friends that like to dance, which is how we met. We wanted to include as many of them as possible, plus family and friends. So previously, each of us had approximately 90 people at our last wedding, so we figured it might be somewhere in that range. By the time we got making the list, it was close to 200. So we had to do some cutting, which we did, and we ended up with about 160 people. So the approach we took to keep costs down, since I'm a wedding officiant, once we got engaged in June of last year, she started following me around to a lot of the weddings that I was doing and sitting in the back row or standing in the back row watching the ceremony. And a lot of times I or we get invited to stay for the reception as well. So that's when, because my job was over, it was easy enough for me to sit back and take a look around and see what people are doing, what we liked, what we didn't like, and see where we didn't need to spend money on this or that. I think one thing that really stands out to me is centerpieces. It seems like people spend a lot of money on centerpieces, and then a lot of them get left behind after the reception is over. So we decided not to put a lot of money into that. And my wife had a great idea with that, because we were getting married a week before Easter. She wanted an Easter theme. So we went to a local thrift store, and she bought a whole bunch of Easter items in baskets and put those together, and very economically made some great centerpieces for that. And we both like M&Ms. I like peanut M&Ms, and she likes plain M&Ms. My favorite color is blue. Her favorite color is purple.
How are you going to make this work?
So what we did was we got plastic Easter eggs very cheaply, and she filled up the blue eggs with the plain M&Ms, and I'm sorry, the purple eggs with the plain M&Ms, and the blue eggs with the peanut M&Ms, and put those on the table as well. We left it to people to try to figure out why we had this configuration, and a lot of people did figure it out. I like the peanut M&Ms, and she likes the plain M&Ms. So we sat down, and we managed to get, it's going to sound crazy to say this, but four bands at our wedding. I play in two marching bands, so we made arrangements for each of my bands to make an appearance for about a half hour right after dinner. We had a couple of friends who play locally come in and do an acoustic duo set for the ceremony itself.
Oh, cool.
And then for the dancing part of the reception, we had a local band come in, Dean's List.
So how much did you actually spend on music?
Not as much as you would think.
Because you would hear four bands, you think, well, okay, that's where your budget was. But,
right.
But it sounds like you had a way to keep those costs down.
The acoustic duo is a couple of very good friends of mine. They each gave me a very good rate. They are both well-known around here. My own marching bands, one is Excelsior Brigade Fife and Drum Corps, and the other is Mark Time Marchers. Those people, I was willing to pay them, but they all said, well, we want to do it for free.
How many people in this marching band? Are you doing like an Ohio State hang on Sloopy kind of thing? How many people?
Let's see. The Fife and Drum Band, I think we had about five or six people.
Oh, okay. So.
And the other band, I think it was somewhere around 12, 13.
Okay.
Not the whole band was there, but sure. Those that wanted to come. So it was an invitation thing. It was a casual thing.
Did you stay on budget overall?
I think so. We didn't really sit down and say, "Oh, we want to spend this much or that much or whatever." We just kind of were reasonable about things as we went along.
Where did you have your wedding, your reception?
It was at the lodge at Braddock's Bay.
Okay.
So we rented that. That was definitely a do-it-yourself wedding. I do have to say, since we've been talking about DIY, is as a wedding officiant, so many weddings that I've gone to which are DIY, I get there about an hour before the wedding starts, and these people are driving themselves crazy trying to get everything together. And I keep thinking to myself, DIY is not the way to go. Well, I did it. And yes, it was stressful.
It
was stressful to pull it together, but we did it. We actually had the first look, which is a trend that I see growing.
Oh, yes.
The first look, which is done shortly before the ceremony starts.
I don't think I know what's that?
A first look is when you get to see each other before the ceremony. So usually they set it up with the photographer that, you know, the bride or groom is in the front there in front of the arbor, and then the groom comes around and is seeing her for the first time. So it's an opportunity to also...
Bride
or bride, exactly. Yeah. It's also an opportunity to take tons of photos before the actual ceremony, because people want to be able to attend their cocktail hour without having to worry about taking tons
exactly.
of photos. So first looks are fantastic.
Yeah. My wife had seen that at one of the weddings I officiated, and she said, I want to do that. So we did that. But it was funny for me in terms of a DIY wedding, because leading up to that, I was nuts trying to get things, help get things organized, and then all of a sudden, oh, I have to look good for a first look now. Mm-hmm. And her sister was saying, she's here now. So it's like, okay, we picked a spot. The photographer got me set up. The photographer and the videographer got me set up. And so it gave me a moment to just calm down and like, oh, this is starting now. Mm-hmm. And my bride is behind me, and the videographer kept saying, don't turn around yet. So he's taking pictures, and the photographer's taking pictures, and all of a sudden I had the opportunity to turn around. And I have been told her dress was really quite stunning. I mean, yeah, it was a second marriage, so she didn't go for the full flowing gown or anything like that, but it was something that she found economically at a local chain store, I should say. And then I was able to turn around and like, wow, that was a really nice choice that she made. And the photographer's got one picture that I really liked a lot with me with my hands out, like, whoa.
Because I'm sure she looks stunning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so it sounds like all of our guests have worked in sort of their own preferences and personalities, because sometimes there are certain traditions that you may find people are asking, well, what am I supposed to do? You know, what do we typically do? And certainly a modern trend is more of, well, let's make it what we want to make it. I'm going to a wedding on Saturday and I'm wearing shorts. I'll be outside. I'm a guest. It's hard for me to get my head around wearing shorts to a wedding, but I was told if you're not wearing shorts, you may be the only one wearing pants. It's going to be 85 degrees. You're going to be outside, and it's not that kind of wedding. Don't dress up. I may wear a tie with an unbuttoned shirt, but shorts. And I was just told that's what they want. That's what is comfortable for them. So it's interesting. We're talking weddings, modern trends, costs, ways to keep costs down. And after our only break of the hour, we're going to bring in Anthony Hayward on the phone with us, who also is a newlywed who busted the budget pretty good. And we're going to talk about Anthony's experience. We'll have to take some of your feedback as well with our guests for the hour, all recently married themselves, along with Agathy Georgiou Graham, who's the owner of Agathy & Co., and they take care of a lot of different people and a lot of different needs when it comes to weddings as well. So Paul Packish, Agathy, Emma Hale, Becca Botter, we'll talk to Anthony on the phone and get more of your feedback next. I'm Evan Dawson. Wednesday on The Next Connections, we broadcast from our WEOS studios in the Finger Lakes, sitting down with a woman who becomes the first ever female president of Hobart and William Smith Colleges. Joyce Jacobson joins us first hour. In our second hour, a conversation with Nate DeMayo, a nationally recognized podcaster, host of The Memory Palace. He's performing in Rochester for Fringe. We'll talk about what he's found here. This is Connections, and I'll stress again, no judgment. We're talking about if you want to talk about what you spent on your wedding or how you approached it. It's interesting, recent pieces in the Washington Post and elsewhere finding that some things have changed with American weddings, but one thing that has not changed is we haven't seen the cost curve reverse, really. And Americans spend more on their weddings than a lot of other industrialized nations, and that hasn't changed despite income inequality. Anthony Hayward is on the line with us, who also recently got married. First of all, Anthony, welcome. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Very good. When did you get married?
I got married last month on the 24th.
Congratulations. How was your weather?
It was perfect. We got the best day of the month.
It's interesting. We got two people got married in you got married in June, not May, right? June?
May 24th.
Oh, May 24th. Okay. So you're just over a month, and that was really when the weather started to turn. I mean, even part of June was junky. Mm-hmm. And then we haven't had rain until today for like 11 days. So you're pretty lucky, you guys, who all got married recently. And so, Anthony, I'm hearing that that you're in that category the Washington Post reported on, said that, yep, we'll take a loan out. We'll do it the way we want to. Tell me about your approach.
Yes. So the initial approach was not to spend the amount of money we spended. We just wanted it to be nice. But we were hearing a lot of, like, people were telling us, including some people that help plan weddings, they were like, well, don't be afraid to invite a lot of people, because usually with a lot of people coming out of state, they say there's like a 25% no-show factor. That was not the case. We sent We sent out 180 invitations, and 174 people showed up.
That is not the norm, my friend. People really love you.
Agathy, real quick here. Hold on a second, Anthony. What would be the norm, for especially in a wedding in those circumstances? 180 would have roughly what show up?
140, 150.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nearly 100%. Congratulations to you, Anthony. You're very popular.
Yeah, we were expecting 140, and only six people said no, and it was for good reasons. Couldn't even be upset about it.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah, so they were all there. We filled the venue to an uncomfortable capacity. It was big. It was a big wedding.
And so is there any place that you look back on? First of all, if you're willing to tell us what the final bill was, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, it was probably just shy of $38,000.
Okay, just shy of $38,000. Going into the process, did you have a number in mind that you were going to try to stick to?
I was hoping it was going to be around the $20,000.
So you're not a CPA.
No. No, I am not. I am, yes, a humble bartender.
Very good.
God bless you.
And when did you decide to do the loan?
I had to pull the trigger on the loan about 2 months before the wedding because I was panicked and I was way behind.
And so now what's it look like? What kind of terms are you dealing with? What's the loan going to play out for you?
Okay, so the loan was absolutely brutal because the only people that would finance me on such short notice for the full amount I needed, which was $10,000, there's no way we got a good rate on it. There was the good news is that with 174 guests, we crushed it money-wise. We made back just enough to pay off the loan in its entirety. So I'm not stuck in any obligation.
Okay.
It was the luckiest thing that could happen to us.
But any regrets as you look back on the process? What would you do differently?
Okay, so there's a couple things. First off, I have no regrets. It was the most wonderful day of my life. However, when you think about that kind of money, it's like, yes, we could have bought a house. There's so many other things you could do with the money. And we just didn't think it was going to get that high. But there's a couple suggestions I would have for people that are considering getting married soon is you got to get your numbers in early as possible with RSVPs, because that wait until the last minute to add people, take off people, whatever, it's ridiculous. You got to get your numbers in. It's beyond important. And another thing where you actually want to spend money, in my opinion, is hire a wedding planner. We hired a wedding planner and she saved our lives. This thing would have went up in a great fireball disaster if it was not for this lady, Angela. I swear to God.
Good for you. Did I hear Angela?
Yes, Angela.
I know exactly who she is. She's fantastic.
Yeah, Honeydew. She was
Honeydew, yep.
Amazing.
No, she's wonderful.
Absolutely saved our lives. Because it's rough. Just the food and drink alone for 174 guests was $18,000.
Mm-hmm. Man.
So
I got to think, Agathy, you've got people who come to you and they think, I'd like to do all this for $10,000. And mm-hmm. then they give you like everything they want and you go, okay, so that's going to be $25,000.
Absolutely.
Does that happen all the time?
All day, every day. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But go ahead. I'm sorry.
It'd be nice to determine what price you'd like to pay for things, but it's just not how it works.
Right.
Like in my head, like I'm like, oh yeah, so we'll get some flowers. They'll hang up some flowers here. I'm like, well, flowers can't be more than $1,000. And we talked to the lady and we went pretty simple, just some simple greenery. And it's just not what you expect it is. I'm like, yeah, you know, it's going to be $1,000. And they're like, okay, $3,500. And you're like, whoa, what did I do?
Oh yeah.
Well, but Anthony, at least it sounds like you're mentally in a pretty good place with it right now, yeah?
Oh, yes. Listen, I'm telling you right now, it was the most beautiful day of my life. I was listening to the caller before. We did a first look as well. It was the coolest thing ever. I sobbed like a baby. I didn't even realize I was that emotional. The wedding went off without a hitch. The venue was perfect. The weather was perfect. We thought we were doing everything pretty low-key. It just turned out to be much grander than we had planned. And we have two children now. So saving this kind of money, while taking care of two children and paying all your bills and such, it is a hassle. So if you're planning on getting married, you really, like, and I'm so lazy, I didn't do it. I'm telling people now, listen to me, please. Make a budget. Make sure that you are taking that money you say you're taking, put it away, and don't touch it. Mm. Or the wedding will not happen. We were so stressed. Right up to the finish line, we were stressed out. I mean, it's brutal. It put a lot of tax and stress on our relationship. Just planning, paying off deposits, it's a lot. And we called them favors. My DJ was only $500. He said he'd do it for free, but I gave him money anyways. We cut costs in small places where we could. But if you're having a high amount of guests, just to feed them and get them a few drinks, it's going to cost an arm and a leg.
Well, Anthony, good luck to you guys. Thanks for taking the time to call the program and share the story. And
of course, happy to help.
Yeah, here's to a good lifetime for you guys, Anthony. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And so a lot of interesting phone calls and feedback already. Before I grab Catherine on the line, Agathi, when you have people come to you and say, I was hoping for like 10,000, and you go, okay, well, everything you want, maybe 20, 25. What's the first thing that people tend to cut when they are looking to cut? Is it that number overall guests invited, or is there something else?
Well, if you are searching for other venues in the area, then you start to gather packets of what people usually are charging per person. So on average, we'd say at any venue in Rochester, it can vary between like $80 to $200 a person. So based on that number alone, multiply that by the amount of guests you're going to have, mm-hmm. add, you know, admin fees, gratuity plus tax, you're going to get that number whether you like it or not. So that number alone helps them to kind of get out of that budget of $5,000 like your parents assumed or your husband. Yep. But that, yeah, that's usually the number one. And then again, cutting down the guest list certainly helps. This gentleman sounded like he had 170 people. So at about $120 per person, that's accurate. Add in the florist, add in the photographer, add in the baker. Those things add up. But kudos to him for addressing the importance of a wedding planner, because a lot of couples do the DIY, but when you have the event planner or wedding planner doing it for you, that saves the chaos.
I'd like to add to that as far as the fact that I did a DIY wedding. We did not actually have an official wedding planner, but I think it was about a week or two before the wedding, I realized that we really do need somebody to try to pull a lot of loose ends together.
Yeah, and assist with the flow.
Right, and I had a relative who was actually a manager at one of the local places, one of the local party houses, and he was invited to the wedding, but then I offered him a little bit of something to say, would you come in and help me pull all this thing together for the day?
Good for you.
And he did.
That's
and
fantastic.
It made a difference. It really did make a difference.
Yeah, and I would say if you're someone like me that can't afford a formal wedding planner, if your venue has an on-site wedding coordinator, communicate with that person as much as humanly possible. Because
sure.
That's a huge tool on the day of, so that you're not, you know, running around in your suit tying up those loose ends, because it happens. I mean, I did things in 6-inch heels and a wedding dress that probably could have been saved, but.
All right, so let me grab Catherine on the phone, because all I see on the board is that Catherine wants to talk about a term called modified elopement. Go ahead, Catherine.
Hi, I laughed because I don't. It's not a term unless I made it up. what we wound up doing is we had been together for about 10 years, and paying for a wedding instead of paying for a house didn't seem something for us. So what we wound up doing was a modified elopement. Wedding planning, like you have been talking about, was too much. So what we wound up doing was we invited my in-laws and my parents for a relaxing place to go for wedding planning. And what they found out when we were at dinner is that they were enjoying the rehearsal dinner, and they received invites to our wedding the next morning in a gazebo overlooking Lake Ontario.
Amazing.
And I told them I planned part of the dress. I told them that we went to Canada, we went to Toronto, and they're at the Prince of Wales has a proper tea on Sundays. So I said, you know, they have a proper wear, proper tea, so bring formal attire. And that was a prep for them for the wedding. So so they received invitations at the rehearsal dinner, that they're at the rehearsal dinner, invited to our wedding the next morning. And we had the ceremony at a gazebo overlooking Lake Ontario. Amazing weather, 70 degrees. I thought it was going to be freezing, but it was so absolutely beautiful seeing the sailboat sail while we were married. So there was a total of 7 people, our parents and the pastor. And it was very intimate. It was wonderful. We wish we could have had our siblings there, but it just would have been too complicated. But we had our parents there, and we have pictures and stories. And actually, I emailed friends, and a lot of them said it's about time and wished us the best. And so that was our wedding.
Well, good luck to you, Catherine. Thanks for sharing the story.
You're welcome.
Modified elopement.
I have
that's
that
impressive.
Term.
Yeah.
I have a story that might be somewhat similar to that. One of the weddings I did really involved 4 people. It was a second marriage for the couple. The bride had 2 adult daughters, and what they wanted me to do is just show up at their house and just have the 4 of them. So the couple got married, the 2 daughters watched, they took some pictures, and then after the short ceremony was over, right in the living room there, we turned it around. I took some pictures of them, and then they posted on Facebook later in the day that they got married and surprised people.
Wow!
So that's versus
surprise.
Versus your $35,000 wedding.
Andrew writes to us to say, "I got married to my wife 26 years ago at the Glen Iris in Letchworth State Park. We weren't rich, but we spent a ton anyways. Best wedding ever. We're still not rich. We still have each other."
Aww.
That is from Andrew. And here is Graham, who says, listening to the show right now, you ought to bring up pop-up weddings. That's what we're doing in New York City, and it's dropped the cost significantly. Pop-up weddings?
I've heard of it, yes. There is a company locally that attempted to do that at one of our venues. It's basically hiring a company to do everything for you. You show up, you have your event for an hour, and then you leave. So they help in planning all of your, you know, your floral centerpieces and kind of making it all look stunning. And you literally just show up, you pop up to the venue, everything's done, you have your event for an hour or two, and then you leave.
Is this back to back with other types of weddings? Like, is there a string of them in a row or something?
You would
think,
yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So you just kind of sign up for a time slot, and essentially. And there's like a lump sum, like there's just one fee. So let's say you pay $5,000, and for $5,000 you get, you know, maybe seating for 20 people, food, beverages, floral, baked goods, an officiant, all in. They do everything for you. You just kind of choose your theme, and then boop, you show up.
Becca and Emma, does that take away too much of the planning from your hands that you are excited about?
I am a little bit of a control freak, so I think just
same girl, same.
Letting the company run loose would be a little bit scary to me. I liked the planning process. I wasn't too stressed about it, so I think I would have felt like I was missing out if I gave it up to someone else.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel similarly. I enjoyed the process of planning my wedding. It was a pretty spectacular experience, and I learned a lot. But I was talking a little bit earlier with a few people about this, but we got married at Artisan Works, and there was a little aspect of that because they are so spontaneous and creative with their space that the space that we saw when we did the tour a year plus in advance was not the same space that we had the day of. So there was you had to have a little bit of go with the flow with that.
I think what would be missing from a pop-up wedding is the personal touch. Mm-hmm. I mean, personally, I like to see the personal touch of a wedding. And I think that's something that would be missing from that.
That's probably right. I mean, that's just part of the industry trying to be economical and keep things moving.
Exactly.
Peter writes to say, Evan, I hope it's stressed that not all weddings have to be overly costly. I've officiated quick ceremonies in public parks with 12 people in attendance to over 100 at private venues. If a couple is truly in love, all it may cost is the filing fee and a fun party later. Everything else is sprinkles on top of a very special day. Well taken, Peter. No doubt about that. And again, no judgment. People have a lot of different desires for what their day is like. Now, Neely says, Evan and guests, given the speed at which climate is impacting us, 80 years ahead of schedule and the absolute necessity of moving towards a 100% sustainable future, is the wedding industry doing anything to make it possible to be more sustainable? Are there any or many couples even thinking about this? I.e., is there a demand or a growing demand for more sustainable weddings? And how can weddings be more sustainable? That's from Neely. What do you think, Agathi?
So at both the Arbor Loft and Arbor at the Port, we compost and we recycle all things, and that's part of the package. So you sign up and that's kind of part of what you're getting. But good for them for addressing that. I think that's something that we didn't start off with executing or paying attention to, but as often as we had events and we realized we were just throwing so much away and so many cans that were just going into the garbage, that, you know, we made it a point for our business and just kind of the core values and principles of our business that we would give back in that way.
Okay. And I do suspect, Neely, that every year we're going to see more people asking about this. I mean, I think it is inevitable. And probably a decade ago, almost nobody, I would think.
Oh, goodness, no.
Yeah.
I mean, we stopped using plastic straws just recently as well. I mean, because we're just going with the motions and we're trying to keep up. I don't want to call it a trend, because getting rid of plastic straws isn't a trend, but just kind of going through the motions and evolving with society and the way that we do things, it's important.
Though tangent here, is anybody buying the paper straws yet? Do they really work? I feel like you get a couple of good gulps.
I don't even use
straws.
And
then you're just drinking the actual straw.
Yeah, we ditched the straws completely.
Paper straws, I like the idea. I think they got some work on the execution. Matt on Twitter says, digging this discussion. I'm getting married in 18 days. I wish I'd had these tips 9 months ago.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry, Matt. Good luck to you. What is the average length of engagement? Still about a year and a half?
About a year, yeah. And we're finding that the latest trend in weddings is people are getting engaged and getting married, and we're planning events in less than 6 months. So I know this. We just opened up the port last year. We went on our honeymoon. We got back. We had booked a few handful of weddings that were about 2 months after we got back from our honeymoon. So people are just moving and shaking, especially if they know what they want and they've found the love of their life. We say that it only takes 3 or 4 months to really plan a solid wedding. It takes that long to communicate to vendors. So photographers, videographers, florists, they book up a year in advance. But as far as the venue and the execution, it takes a few months. We can make it happen.
And before we lose the hour, I mean, this is the best time of year in the Northeast. There's no question. It makes it worth the winters being up here. I love this time of year. But what is the difference, Agathi, when it comes to off-season weddings in terms of price? I mean, can you save if you're willing to get married in February?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Time? Yeah.
February, March, April, it's almost cut in half completely. The venue rental alone is cut in half. And photographers would be jumping for joy over the opportunity to photograph your wedding during that season, because there's nothing going on. So February and March are kind of the dead months in planning. We don't have many events at both venues because it is sort of the off season. So absolutely, I would recommend it.
Let me ask our guests if you would have ever considered, your wedding date was?
October 21st.
October, okay.
Yep.
October, right at the peak of the foliage season.
Just gonna say, so I think that once upon a time, October was perhaps part of more of the off season. Mm-hmm. And now, especially, so like one of our biggest things with our wedding and it being in the fall was that, and I think this might go with the sustainability question as well, mm-hmm. we did as much local everything mm-hmm. as we could, and that was a cost saving thing. But we got married in October at peak foliage time and
prime season.
It was prime season. Yeah. Even in the city, mm-hmm. you know, people pay to have those colors around them because they're really beautiful.
I imagine a huge difference, though, even 3 to 4 weeks different for you, because November is like a wet blanket of a weather month.
Yeah.
It's just the worst.
Yeah.
And all the leaves are gone, the color's gone, and everything just feels like a bad mood. But maybe, it would have been a big difference in cost. You were happy in being there in October.
Yeah, and part of that was that was the availability of our venue. I think we would have been happy in November, but like you said, we got especially lucky, especially in Rochester, and that was part of why we had an indoor wedding is, you never know, it could have snowed, but it was 72 degrees.
Oh, wow.
And sunny.
Amazing, oh, wow. Amazing. Whereas Becca, June 8th, would you have considered February or March?
So my dad tried to get us to go for more of a December wedding, but I was pretty adamant about having an outdoor wedding. And since we got married at a local park, that cut down on a lot of costs, obviously. We just rented the lodge for 2 days for the rehearsal and then the day of, and then did the ceremony right next to it. So we were still gambling with the weather for sure, but it was worth it to me because that was one thing that was really important.
Paul, you got any jobs this weekend? Are you doing a lot of officiating coming up?
Yes, I do. I booked pretty solid right through October. Over the winter months, it's a little spottier. One thing I do want to say about outdoor weddings is always have a backup plan. And if the weather looks like it's not going to cooperate, then please don't hesitate to move indoors, because I've officiated weddings where I'm watching grandparents in the front row on a hot day, and they're unbearably uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Then other people have been playing with threatening thunderstorms that are approaching. You know, it's easy for anybody to just look at the radar on your map and see that a storm's coming. And I've had a few weddings where they've cut it pretty close.
So you really
need to watch that and really need to be careful and make sure that you are willing to move indoors.
Well, good luck to all of our guests who have been married in the last couple of years, some in the last couple of months. Good luck to all of you. Thank you. Agathi, where can people find you and Agathi & Co.?
You can go to our website, agathi.co or arborvenues.com.
And, you know, I would have thought that the length of wedding ceremonies are being cut down. I thought that was a trend, but 90 minutes for you, so.
Oh, goodness, yes. The average is about 10 to 20.
That's about what I do.
10 to 20?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Agathi's trying to hold it down in the high end. Thanks to all of you for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
David Griffin is the outstanding volunteer, and Rob Braden, the engineer, Megan Max, the producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Wherever you are, have a great afternoon. Talk to you tomorrow on member-supported public radio.